his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We thank God for bringing us here again, and we thank him for all his blessings in our lives. We are here to continue from Matthew 12, 14, and the word tells us that in Matthew 12, 14, then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. So after Jesus healed this lame man who had this lame hand, and Jesus healed him, and the hand was restored, it came back as whole as the other. The Pharisees went out after such a good deed was done. They went out and plotted to kill him. They plotted how they might destroy him. So we see, people of God, that these religious leaders were not there to do the work of God. They were trying to do their own works. They were trying to just do some religious things and doing it in the name of God. But Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was there. And they failed to receive him. They failed to put their trust in him. So we are going to be praying and continuing from verse 14 of Matthew 12. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your peace. Thank you for your love which never fails us. Oh God, your word said, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you, oh God, that your love is unconditional, it's sacrificial. Thank you, oh God, for sending your only son to die, that we through him might be saved. So we just thank you right now for salvation. We thank you for your blood which was shed for us. We thank you for the hope that we have in you, and we bless your name forever. So as we come this evening to hear your word, we pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to receive your word, oh God. And that we will not just be hearers, oh God, but we will do your word. We will practice your word. We will live as you call us to live in the name of Jesus. So I thank you right now for what you're doing in this season. Thank you for those that will be listening this evening. And I pray that as they hear your word, oh God, they will purpose in their hearts to follow you. So we just thank you for what you're doing right now and what you're about to do as we look to you by faith and pray in Jesus' name. And we say amen. Amen. So the word tells us in Matthew 12, 14, the Pharisees went out and plotted against Jesus after he did such a great deed by healing this man. How they plotted how they might destroy him. So we see these religious leaders were now plotting to kill Jesus after he had done such a great deed on the Sabbath, healing the lame man. They should be rejoicing that this man was healed, but there was no love in their hearts for humanity. Their whole life was centered on trying to keep God's law perfectly, which no human being could do. No human being could keep the law perfectly, people of God. Only the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, could keep the law perfectly, thus fulfilling the righteous requirement of the law. He alone fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. No one else could do it but Jesus Christ. So Jesus has now become our Sabbath. Jesus has now become our rest. In him we trust. So when he said it is finished while he was on the cross, he was saying that his work on behalf of humanity was completed here on earth. So we now should cease from our own effort in trying to keep the law or trying to please God. But we should put our trust in Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, who had gone to the cross for us, who laid down his life for us. The word of God tells us, no one took his life from him, but he laid it down for us. His love is sacrificial, people of God, that he would lay down his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. So he laid down his life for us. And people of God, that is the work that truly pleased the Father. No other work could please the Father but the work that his Son had done by dying for humanity, dying for all of humanity, so that by putting our faith in him, we can have life and have it more abundantly. We can have eternal life only in Christ Jesus. So people of God, the word of God tells us in Isaiah 53 that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus. So we have to understand that Jesus has already done the work for us at the cross. So we are now to rest in what he has done for us. We have to come to that place of understanding that Jesus Christ now has become our Sabbath rest. In him, people of God, we find rest. So the word tells us in Hebrews 4 verse 8 through 11, the word of God says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. So if Joshua taking the children of Israel over into the promised land, if that was their rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. So there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. For those of us who have now entered into the rest, enter into Christ, enter into that relationship with him, has now ceased from our own works as God did from his." So we cease from our own works. We put our trust in the one who did the work, who completed the work for us. We couldn't do it on our own. But we put our trust in Jesus Christ, who has completed that work at the cross for us. His sacrifice was enough. The ultimate sacrifice was paid for us, people of God. So now we can find our rest by putting our trust in Jesus Christ. So we cease from our own human effort to please God and put our trust in the Son in whom the Father is pleased. The word said it pleased the Lord to bruise him for us. He bore no sin of his own. He bore our sin, our shame, our iniquity, everything that was against us. He bore it on the cross for us, people of God. He was our sin substitute. So in him we have rest, for he is the one who paid the price for us. He is the righteous Son. So in him we find our righteousness. So the word of God says, for he who has entered his rest, if we have entered in Christ, into a relationship with Christ, have ceased from our own works as God did from his. And remember, people of God, when God ceased from his works in Genesis, the word tells us, he worked up to the sixth day, and on the seventh day he rested. Not because he was tired. God cannot be tired. But people of God, we have to understand the work was complete. The work was complete, so he rested. So Jesus, people of God, when he finished that work on the cross, the word of God tells us that he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the Father because the work on earth is complete. He has already paid the sacrifice for us. He himself became that sacrifice for us. He died on the cross that we might live. And because he lives, we live. And people of God, the word said that he sits at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for us. So he's still carrying out that intercessory role in heaven for us. People of God, we need to worship Jesus. We need to love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We need to give him all because of who he is and what he has done at the cross for us. He has become our Sabbath rest. So we know, people of God, can find that settled place in Christ Jesus. Can find that place of peace and tranquility in him. For we have no cease from our human effort. The word of God tells us, by grace are we saved through faith. works, lest any one of us should boast. It's what Christ has done for us. We now boast in the cross, Paul said. We boast in the work that was done at the cross for us. We boast in the sacrifice that Christ has made for us on the cross. That's what we boast in. The sacrifice. The new covenant is in my blood, Jesus said. So we have to come to understand that we are now united with Christ Jesus, because we have put our trust in him and the work that he has done at the cross. So we find that rest. We don't have to be putting out that human effort, trying in our own effort to please God. God is already pleased with what his son has done. So he's calling us now to acknowledge what the son has done for us, to acknowledge the beloved son, to worship him, to love him, to fall at his feet daily and worship him, for he alone is worthy. So we find that sweet rest in him when we cease from our own works and resting in his work. Resting in the work that he did at the cross for us. The word tells us, for he who, still in Hebrews 4, verse 10, for he who has entered his rest, when we entered into Christ, into that relationship with him, has himself also ceased from his own works as God did from his. The word said, let us therefore be diligent. People of God, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent. Let us be consistent. Let us continually persevere to enter that rest. That is what we should be doing. This is the only thing we should be laboring for, to enter into that rest, to be diligent, to be constant, and to enter into that rest. That place, that settled place in Christ, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. People of God, the Lord is calling us to a place of obedience. The Lord is calling us to obey his word and to find our place in Christ. To find that secret place, who is Christ Jesus himself. To find him. He is that place, that settled place in him. That place where we are covered in him, to find that rest in Christ Jesus, ceasing from our own works and resting and relying upon the work that he did at the cross for us. So people of God, we have to understand the word of God, and we have to understand that God is calling us to that place of knowing that Christ himself is our Sabbath rest. He is Lord over all. Look at verse 15 of Matthew 12. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there. And a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Look at what the word said. When Jesus knew it, he knew that they were plotting to kill him. He knows everything, people of God. So when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from them. He wouldn't stay there and let them kill him. No. So, people of God, when we know something, when the Lord shows us something, sometimes he's telling us to withdraw from certain areas, from certain people. Because what? They're killing us spiritually. Because there is no growth among some people. They're just strangling us. So the word said, when Jesus knew it, he knew their plot, that they were plotting to destroy him. He withdrew from there, and great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. So we see Jesus was filled with love and compassion for people. A great multitude followed him. These were ordinary people who were looking for help. They followed him, and he healed them all, whatever their problems were. He healed them. It could have been physical healing, emotional healing, whatever it is, they were healed. He healed them all. All of them that followed him there that were sick, he healed them all. Look at verse 16. The word said, yet he warned them not to make him known. Yet he warned them not to make him known. And look at verse 17. It tells you why he warned them. that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. So we're going to look on the prophecy of Isaiah before we continue on, because from verse 18 to 21 tells us of the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet. So we are going to look in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 42, 1 to 4, and we're going to see this prophecy. The word said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So we are looking at the prophecy of Isaiah. So look on Isaiah 42, verse 1 through 4. The word said, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law." So people of God, these words were penned by Isaiah the prophet over 700 years before Christ came. And the word tells us here that he warned his people not to tell, not to make him known, not to tell of who he really is, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, look at verse 18 of Matthew 12. "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles." I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentile people of God. And Jesus himself, the word tells us in Isaiah 61, that the spirit of the Lord is upon him, for the Lord has anointed him to preach the good news to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set captives free. The word tells us he came to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And we see Jesus himself spoke those words in Luke 4, 18, that this was now fulfilled. He read from the scroll of Isaiah and saying that this prophecy was fulfilled, that the Spirit of God would be upon him. And we see people of God in his baptism, that the word tells us that when John baptized him, the Spirit came upon him and he went into the Spirit, into the wilderness, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So we see people of God, the Spirit of God was upon him, and Isaiah made this prophecy, and it came to pass when Jesus came on this earth and to live for over 30 years. He lived for 33 plus years, and he died on the cross for us. So the word tells us, the Lord said, "I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentile." So he's the one who declared us as Gentiles justified when we put our faith in him. So he declared justice to the Gentile. He is the one that places righteousness upon all those who will put their trust in him. The word said in verse 19 of Matthew 12, "He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets." So we see people of God, Jesus came. He did not come to have any contention or quarrel with anyone. He did not come to be loud and clamorous. No, he came to demonstrate that spirit of meekness and humility, people of God. So he came not to be the one that would be out there advertising himself and making sure everybody knows that he's the Messiah. No, He came in such a humble and a lowly way. He came in such a meek and gentle way, people of God. And he demonstrated that meekness and humility. The verse 20 said, A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flask he will not quench, till he send forth justice to victory. So people of God, he did not come to deal with the political system of Rome over his people at that time. No way. And many were believing that he, performing all those miracles and doing all those great things, that he had the power now to overthrow Rome. No, he did not come for that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save lost souls, people of God. That was his mission. That's what he came to do. So we see, people of God, he did not come to perform for people. He came to do the will of his Father. Remember, people of God, the word tells us that at one point when he did all these miracles, those people, the Jewish people, wanted to take him, to make him king over them. But no, he slipped away from them and went away up into the mountains. The people of God, he knew his mission and he stayed focused on that mission. Nothing could take his eyes from the mission that he was doing. He came to do the will of the Father. The word tells us, I delight to do thy will, O God. So he came to do the will of the Father. So he did not come to deal with the political system of Rome at that time over his people. They were there oppressing his people. But no, he did not come to look about that at that time. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So what we understand, people of God, when he went to the cross, justice was served. The words are, till he sent for justice to victory. When he went to the cross, justice was served for humanity. And now those who trust in Jesus Christ can live in victory. We can now live in victory over sin. Sin has no more dominion over us because of the price that he paid at the cross for us. So we are now justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We are now declared righteous because of the work that he has done at the cross for us. And those of us who have put our trust in Jesus are now declared righteous. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So people of God, we are not condemned anymore. Those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, we are now justified by placing our faith in Jesus. So justice was served at the cross. And now those who trust in Jesus can live in victory over sin. We can live a victorious life, people of God. For Christ himself, people of God, has paid the penalty for us. The wages of sin is death, and he died for us. He took our place, children of God. He became that sin substitute for us, so that today you and I can have life and have it more abundantly if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So the Lord is calling us, all those that hear my voice this evening. The Lord is calling us to put our trust in Jesus Christ and to walk in that victory that he has won for us. He was victorious over sin, victorious over the grave, victorious over Satan himself. He is the victorious one. So we are to put our trust in him so that we can walk in victory where sin has no more dominion over us. So the Lord is calling us, Church of God. The Lord is calling us. And those who have not yet put their trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord is calling us, calling you to come to him. Come to him. You that have been trying in your own effort and you find yourself frustrated on the journey, come to Jesus and you will find that sweet rest in him. He is the one that did the work for us. And he's the one who's calling us to come. Lean on him. Find that sweet rest in him. Find that victory over sin in Jesus Christ. Only in him can we have victory over sin. And people of God, the Lord is calling us to come to understand that we are justified. We are declared righteous only by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Our good works cannot make us righteous. It's good to do good works, but that cannot save us. We have to understand it's just by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone, whereby we can be saved. So people of God, we have to come to understand the truth of God's word and rely on his word. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 12. Verse 21 of Matthew 12 said, "And in his name, Gentiles will trust." In his name, Gentiles will trust. Isaiah prophesied this word over 700 years before Christ came. And the word tells us he came unto his own, but his own received him not. The word tells us in John 1, 11 and 12, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came unto his own Jewish people, but they received him not. And verse 12 of John 1 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God. And in his name, Gentiles will trust." In his name, we put our trust, people of God. In his name, we put our trust. His name brings hope to all who put their trust in him. His name brings hope to us. He is our living hope, children of God. Jesus Christ is our living hope. In him we trust. In his name, the Gentiles will trust. And people of God, the Lord is calling us to understand that only the name of Jesus, only by his name can we be saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. So we have to put our trust in him. The word said, in his name, Gentiles will trust. And we give God thanks this evening that we have put our trust in Jesus. And those who have not yet put their trust in Jesus, you have the opportunity to do so now. Come to Jesus. Tell him that you're a sinner. Say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Save me." And he will save you if you're really speaking from your heart. So God is able to see and know the hearts, and he is mighty to save. He is mighty to deliver. So in his name, Gentiles will trust. And I pray and hope today that you will put your trust in Jesus Christ. His name brings hope to all the people who put their trust in him. God bless you here this evening. We'll stop here and we will continue from verse 21 of Matthew 12 next week. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you for you being our living hope, Jesus. And we pray as we put our trust in you, we will find joy and peace and victory as we continue on this journey. We thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend and continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to all. Amen and amen. In the Lord is
love. Reproofs of instruction. Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.